You're listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
What's up, guys? It's Gary back with you again. Episode 29 of Paddy Pigskin in association with DraftKings. And what an amazing weekend of games. Really finished off with the dramatic finish there to the Vikings and Saints game. So myself and Jared's back with me. Don't think he's been around since December. We're going to give our reactions to the games that happened in the divisional round. And then we're going to look ahead to the two matchups in the championship games. So the AFC championship game just down the road in Foxborough, Pats versus the Jags. And then the NFC championship game in Philly with Jersey Eagles against the Fairy Tale Vikings. So that's all on deck for this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Now you may be thinking, why no Eric Dickerson for episode 29? Well, that's because we covered him in our college special, episode 19, which was the number he wore playing his college ball at SMU. So this week, I'm going with who I feel is the best number 29 wearing player in the NFL today, and that's Eric Berry, safety of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was born in Fairborn, Georgia in 1988. Fuck's sake, we're nearly the same age. And he played his high school ball at the local Fairborn Creekside High School, where he played quarterback and cornerback, as well as running track and field. He received many college offers from top schools, but ultimately decided to go play at the University of Tennessee and switched his attentions to safety, having a standout college career from 2007 to 2009. The Chiefs selected him with the 5th overall pick in the 2010 draft, making him the highest drafted DB since the late Sean Taylor. He signed a 6-year, $60 million deal. Obviously, this was before the CBA, making him the highest paid safety in NFL history. Since then, he's had a fantastic career, going to 5 Pro Bowls, including 3 first-team All-Pro nods. He's also been a beast off the field, as he successfully beat Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2015, having been diagnosed after a game versus the Raiders in 2014. His stats so far, 434 tackles, 5.5 sacks, 14 ints, and 5 defensive TDs. And he was ruled out of the 2017 season after he injured his leg against the Patriots in the first game. So I'm hoping Eric Berry, safety for the Kansas City Chiefs, number 29, makes a successful comeback in the 2018 season. So that's the player dedication for this week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
So I don't really know why I picked that song. I just have it on my playlist. I was like, let's go with it this week. So Jer, welcome back to Paddy Pigskin. It's been a few weeks.
It has been a few weeks now, pre-Christmas.
Pre-Christmas, that's right. And obviously, happy man after your Eagles got the job done there over the weekend.
Yeah, I can't complain. I was sitting with you watching it, so the last couple of minutes were fucking...
You were looking at your Fitbit there, and the heart rate was slowly but surely starting to rise there. But I was with you, and was in the same boat. I did pick the Falcons, but deep down I did want the Eagles to win, so I was delighted for you. Before we move on to a recap of the games, anyway, we'll get into a little bit of the movers and shakers and the coaching carousel. So out at the Steelers, Todd Haley, offensive coordinator. Clearly there was some, you know, a strained relationship, let's say, between him and Big Ben. So Rapoport,
I think that was pretty much a don't throw 5 ints in a game.
That's fair enough. Like, yeah. Fuck you, I'll do what I want. Rapoport, I don't know if you have the tweet up there, but Rapoport,
who's he talking about?
He has the replacement there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's someone from within the Steelers anyway. It's not the quarterback's coach, is it?
No, it's Randy Fitchner.
Randy Fitchner.
Expecting the deal to be finalised tomorrow.
So that's a quick transition there. Sounds like they may have already had him in mind. And it's like, see it, Todd. Randy's here waiting to take over. So that's a move at the Steelers. Mike Mularkey, this is a bad one. They gave him the extension 2 days before. And then they lose to the Patriots. And then the head coach of the Titans is fired. I thought that was a little bit harsh.
They didn't give him an extension. Did they? I thought they just talked about giving him an extension.
I think they gave it, and they gave him a vote of confidence the week before.
The vote of confidence, I think, they had to do publicly because he came out and blasted them straight after the game, saying he hadn't gotten any assurances from anyone. But I think it's really the right move. They have to look at it. Mariota has regressed this year, and they're not really playing a style of football that's suited to his needs, where he wants to be running around as well. You know, just trying to keep him a traditional pocket passer, it doesn't work. You can see when they try to do it with the Panthers because they don't want Cam getting hurt, his game struggles a bit.
Yeah. Jets offensive coordinator John Martin. Here's another funny one. He was fired, but they were hoping that he would be lured away to another team.
What happened there? Because as long as they left him with a lot of talent this year to play offense, and they actually did quite all right. So
given the lack of playmakers,
somebody had to get the sack. And yeah. It's
not going to be the head coach right now, so there has to be a scapegoat somewhere. Colts narrowing in on Josh McDaniels, even though the Titans job opened up. I wonder if they'll interview him just for the sake of checking him out, but everything sounds like he's going to be the Colts head coach, which is interesting because he has Brissett there if Luck's not ready.
Well, I'm pretty sure McDaniels, the Colts have told him things about Luck that has not been released yet, because I'm sure he just wouldn't be taking the job without knowing that Luck isn't going to be available. So Luck must be doing well with the treatment in Germany that he was getting.
All them stem cells getting fucking pumped into him.
Haven't told anybody, but if he gets there, he'll turn that around. And then the NFC South, and it's back to being possibly a 14 division, you know?
AFC South, yeah. Matt Patricia tipped to be the Lions head coach.
Like that. That'd be good. You know,
I'm annoyed. I wish he would be with the Giants head coach, but you know, can't win them all.
You can't win them all, and that's going to be a good hire for the Lions if they do get him, because he's already got Stafford there in the offense, so he just needs to tighten up the defense. He played quite all right this year, nothing spectacular.
Yeah, they had their moments,
but he can start to do things, and hopefully, then you know, if Stafford can get into the postseason and start winning some games to get those records against his team. Then so that means you got the Vikings, you'd have the Lions, Aaron Rodgers back for the Packers next year, new coach and GM, new coach in the Bears, Trubisky could start to come on. So the NFC North could be quite an interesting division next year.
True. And Pat Shurmur looks like he's the head of the pack anyway for the head coaching vacancy there at the New York Giants. But obviously all these things can't be finalized until their respective teams finished our season, so it's all up in the air.
Nothing new to being in the NFC East for him. He was there with the Eagles when Chip Kelly was there.
True, yeah. Yeah, so he does know the division. So that pretty much wraps it up for any coaching movements for the week. So we'll get on to the games, the divisional games that just happened. So the Around the NFL guys kind of said, they kind of summed it up nicely. There was a bad game. There was an okay game, good game, and then a great game. And it kind of escalated. Yeah, I know you'll have your qualms about the Eagles-Falcons games being...
They said the Vikings-Saints game was a great game. It really wasn't at halftime. It was 17-0. It was a pretty...
That's true.
It was going to be the Patriots, you know? Here, it was a great second half. I don't think overall it was a great game. I think overall it was a good game. But
I think they're based on drama is what it was. So, yeah, Pats beat the Titans 35-14. They're back in the AFC title game again. Okay. Brady, 3 touchdowns, 337 yards. And they pretty much shut down the run game, which is kind of what we expected, really. That's the Bill Belichick way, the game plan. Shut down the most dangerous.
12 carries is all they gave Derrick Henry. That's ridiculous.
Well, they were probably expecting...
Well, that's the first. Actually, that changes now, so... The Titans were undefeated in a game, I think maybe where Henry got over 10 carries a game. So he's got 12 carries there and they lost, so that streak is broken. But 28 yards, yeah, they just absolutely destroyed their own game. They're like, Grant Mariota beat us through the air.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he had that great play at the start, that fucking amazing one-hander by Corey Davis. And then, like, you know,
Jack Conklin got injured with his ACL, and that's a massive,
massive loss.
Pro Bowl player, type player off the line, and he injured his quad, so he's not running around as much. And, you know, and they were complaining about two flags, but upon replay, the flags were justified. So they can't really complain there, but overall, not a great game called by the Titans in general. I think, you know, they got nobody to blame but themselves. And I honestly think the Chiefs probably could have given a better game than the Titans.
Yeah, I would agree. And you look at the guys who scored for the Pats, James White, Chris Hogan back again, good to see. Brandon Bolden, for fuck's sake, even scored.
Well, they gave him
that. And Gronk. Amendola had 11 receptions for 112 yards.
Yeah.
They really do just spread it around.
And so Brady had 337, but I think he possibly left 100 yards out in the field. You know, we have Cooks, he overthrew once.
Yeah, yeah.
Once he didn't see him open, you know. So they possibly left a lot out there, but they'll get into
it. And it's rare that he overthrows Cooks because he's so fucking fast. I think he just horses it up as far as he can and let Cooks run after it, you know.
But they'll sit down. He threw it 53 times as well, so God, his arm must be sore, you know.
Yeah, well, he cuts a lot of avocados. Maybe that's what got him injured there this week, the old avocado hand, where everybody in New England shit themselves
today, all right? With the whole Brady's jammed his hand here.
Oh,
you know?
Fuck, our season's over. Brian Hoyer.
If only.
So that was 35-14. And then we got to the game on... that was the late game, rather. The game before that, your Eagles got the job done. It got a little bit juicy there in the end when they were the last play call kind of bamboozled me a little bit, the way they rolled out to the right. Mm-hmm. It's why would you cut the field in half, you know? It's I know you're expecting your player Julio Jones, he's better than almost any guy that he goes up against. You just trust that he'll make the play. But he wouldn't have come down in bounds if he made that catch.
No, it's what was out of bounds. But at the same time though, You got to look at that drive when they got in there, right? I was shitting bricks here watching it. In the first play, Ryan he threw it over Julio's head, you know, so that was on him. The next play then, I think he got Julio on a slant.
Yeah, and he dropped short 2 yards, I believe.
And then they done a pitch play, I think was the next one, one of the throw pitch, and he was tackled. So the next play they came in, but listening to Malcolm Jenkins and everything, they said they knew the play before it was called. Because they don't know what they trained on the Thursday with it, and then they done 3 or 4 walkthroughs of it on the field before the game started, that they knew he was going to do this, which is
he was going to roll out. They knew
he was going to roll out, which is why you watch from the backside. They blitz the player. I think then it was the running back pick up that block with the cup block, but you see them all. They just stood out there, and Jalen Mills, who's had a up and down season, you know, he's not had the greatest stats, and he hit the job of Mark and Julio, and he's done a great job on it. Julio went straight through. Now, when you look at Julio's strengths, maybe standing there one-on-one with the defender isn't one of his strengths. It's in stride, catching the ball on a slant or down the field. Just standing there waiting for it possibly isn't his stronger game.
Yeah.
But it went through his hands, and that's on him. But, you know, there...
It was a difficult one, though.
It wasn't.
He jumped the defender, expecting him to catch it.
Expecting him to catch it. I expect anybody at that level, if they can jump that high, to catch it, considering they're at that level. But Matt Ryan had a good game. He didn't have a great game. We were watching it, and he done one where he just rolled out, and he could have taken the first read that was in front of him, but he was looking for somebody in the end zone. He didn't. Then when he did take the first read, I think it was to Austin Hooper, maybe. He threw it far right, you know, and Hooper couldn't get his hands on it, and that was on him. But you got to look, they didn't score in the second half, you know, and... The Eagles, you could tell from early on, they were a team that hasn't played in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah,
the
we did mention that, all right, yeah.
That you get the big penalty on the pass interference, and then suddenly Ajayi fumbles it, you know, and then you're on their 26-yard line, and suddenly they go down the field then and get 3 points.
Yeah, and just the box score kind of makes for, it's kind of meh, you know, Matt Ryan, 22 for 36, 210 yards, 1 touchdown. Nick Foles, not much better, 23 completions, 246 yards. Even the run game, neither starting running back got over 100 yards. And the reception game, Julio just about broke 100 yards. He had 101. That's just Julio being Julio. So it's kind of just one of those, you know, sloppy on both sides.
When we look at it, so the key for the Eagles to win that game was to Foles not make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a big thing considering he only played a quarter against the Cowboys and they took him out and he had a bad game against the Raiders. So you just don't want him to make any mistakes. And some of his throws, like his choice of where he was throwing it was great. The problem was his accuracy wasn't great. It was either over or under. So it's whatever. And we spoke about it where he threw it and the Falcon safety, it hit off his knee. And I think it was Smith or Jeffrey got it. And they brought it down.
Yeah, it hit off Keanu Neal, I believe it was. Knee. I was fucking fuming because I had him on my team. I was like,
but, you know, that was one mistake. And then after that, he was pretty competent. You know, we were sitting here and I was like, Gary, I don't think I've seen Alshon Jeffrey a part of this game at all. And then suddenly he starts making all these catches, you know, and key catches at that. They weren't even just stupid catches. They were key third downs. He was critical on third downs.
Keeping drive alive,
keeping the drives alive. But, you know, Eagles have 4 fumbles in this game, which you can't have.
And those could be turned into sixes the other way, you know, against the Vikings.
Yeah, and two key turning facts in the second half were when the Eagles were just driving at will down the field. And then that Falcons player, in air quotes here, is like, got injured.
Mm.
And they had to call an injury timeout. And it just slowed the whole game down.
He is doing air quotes there, by the way. Got injured. Because obviously people can't see us here. But
which is why
he is throwing up the air quotes there.
That took the momentum off the Eagles there. Gave the Falcons time to get a breather. And we only got 3 points out of it then. And then the next one was on the Sanu catch, which they overruled and said it wasn't a catch. And then it came to fourth down. And then Schwartz, who I thought was having a good game up and then went in a brain fart and sent 5 people after, which is pointless because there's 5 people on the offensive line, so nobody's actually getting the pressure there.
Mm.
If you just kept your 4 and had your linebacker stay behind, you wouldn't have had Julio maybe coming across the middle and just making that catch. We stopped that, game over. But we let them keep that drive alive, and hopefully we don't have that this forthcoming weekend.
Yeah, well, he's got the job done anyway. You live to fight another day. Can't really argue with that.
No.
One more away from the big one. By the way, we're not doing a beer review this week. I wasn't arsed really. I hadn't got time. So we just picked the beer out of my fridge. So we're actually both drinking Harpoon. I got the Harpoon IPA. Not going to review it because I drink this shit all the time. What have you got there?
Fresh Tracks. Bright, floral and hoppy. Very hoppy.
Is it very hoppy, is it?
Not one of my favourites.
Okay. All right. Well, luckily we're not reviewing it.
No.
Because Harpoon are obviously based here in Boston. So... don't want to get blackballed in the old beer community here in the city.
Not at all, you know.
Anyway, we'll move on as we're sipping away to the Sunday games. So, fucking Jesus, the start of this game, I was like, what the hell is going on? The Jags jumped out to a quick 14-point lead, courtesy of
21-0 lead.
Well, I was going to say, in the first quarter, courtesy of 2 Leonard Fournette runs, and yeah, they added another one there with TJ Yeldon. So, a bit of a shock. Only one of us had the Jags win, and that was BC.
Yeah,
fair play to him. BC said the Jags are going. He said it a few weeks ago. Jags are going all the way.
You know,
he's like, they remind me of the Seahawks. But
it's a pity we picked the games before the games, because Bell went out before the game and said, "Yeah, we're just looking at the Patriots now." And the Jags are like a team you don't want to give them any ammunition to piss that defense off, you know? People overlooking at them. The reason I chose the Steelers was I think that they would have learned from the first game. With Brown being back, I just thought, you know, they'll not make many mistakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I was sitting there watching, I was like 14-0, and then you text me at 21-0, a little googly eyes emoji. We're like, what is going down. What is going on here? Like, Twitter was blowing up 21-0, and the Jags just looked like they were having a shitload of fun on the sideline. Like I even saw Blake Bortles just blowing smoke.
That was chirping. A lot of chirping going on there. And like you mentioned Blake Bortles. Like he actually didn't really do, from a statistical standpoint,
14-26,
214 yards. And the touchdown was to the fullback. Like,
well, I'd say even
on a play action.
Out of those 214, a good 50 or 60 came from that long pass to Cole. Which ended up going to the fullback for the touchdown. So he had one. He wasn't really throwing long. He threw a couple of long passes, and they were into double coverage. And thankfully, they didn't get them. But you know, that's all you need them to do. If his passing game is going to be 5 to 10 yards, and that's going to get you first downs, then do it.
Yeah.
You know, because don't change what's working for you. You've got Fournette there, who's pounding the ball in, and you've got your defense, who's maybe good for a touchdown a game.
True.
What more do you
which
need?
they were in that game. You mentioned Fournette there, 25 carries, mm-hmm. 109 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's been fantastic rookie here.
He went out there in the first half
with the ankle injury.
Started to change, you know. Steelers started. They started to believe, get a bit of momentum, and Bouye, man, guy hadn't given up a touchdown all season. And then Brown gets him twice, you know. And the first one, just Brown holding his hand.
One-hander.
Or just brought it in. So, and you know, fair play to Big Ben. He got the one. Actually, what I will say is concerning that they put up over 500 yards in this Jaguars defense. That's concerning because I've not seen that before. Big Ben had 5 TDs in this game.
Yeah,
and 4 of them were just beautiful.
Beautiful. Even the one to Martavius Bryant, looking back into the sun, the way he was able to locate that coming over the shoulder.
That as the beautiful one. The other, the fifth one was where he kind of crossed the line of scrimmage and then threw it backwards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a smart play. It was a great play. But the two to Brown and the one to Martavius Bryant.
Beautiful.
The big throw about just, oh my God.
Brown balled out. Like, considering he fucked up his calf only a few weeks ago and he came back, like, 7 receptions, 2 of those being absolutely unbelievable touchdowns, 132 yards and the 2 scores. Like, what a comeback.
Yeah, and I think some of it can fall on the Jags, you know, that they let this happen because they're not used to, I don't know, they're not used to, not used to seeing them let up big yards like this on, especially big plays for 40 yards or 50 yards. I'm not used to seeing it. And I don't think they're possibly used to seeing it. But you know what? When the defense needed the offense to do something, they got it done.
They did.
That was the big thing. A couple of things you look at was the big Ben Int in the first half, his fumble, which got returned for a TD. Now, I've heard people talk about the onside kick. What was he doing, you know? But as he said it, like, the defense wasn't stopping the Jaguars.
Mm.
You know, like, they put them further down the field. They got a long field to play for. Maybe he didn't trust his kicker to coffin kick it, to just have it sit in. And if it goes out of bounds, they come up to the 40 anyway. So it was just a really bad onside kick. And then what I don't understand, I really think it was just terrible game management.
Yeah,
he didn't
very
use
bad.
His timeouts before the 2-minute warning. And then they were within field goal range, but they still kept going to get the touchdown. You got to kick that, get the touchdown, and then go for the onside kick again.
Save the time on the clock,
And give yourself a chance for the touchdown for a Hail Mary. Because you just don't know with Bryant or Brown, the way they're playing, some of those catches, a Hail Mary could win it.
True. So the Jags move on anyway, and we'll get to the preview in a while, but they're on their way up to Foxborough now this week. So fair play to them. They had a good bit of promise coming into the year, and they seem to be living up to the hype. So they're moving on. And then we'll get on to the Minnesota Minneapolis Miracle. Keenum to Diggs on the last play. Crazy end to a game. Sends the Vikings through 29-24. So what a fucking finish to a game. I don't think I've ever seen, well, it's never happened in a playoff, a walk-off touchdown. First time it's ever happened. Marcus Williams.
It's
never happened before.
Not in regular time. Not in regular time. I was thinking of the Tim Tebow.
Well, all
touchdown against the Steelers. That was a walk-off touchdown in overtime.
That's true, but that's because it's the first one to score a touchdown wins.
Yes, but it was a walk-off win.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it was overtime, so in regular season. Regular time, yeah. But
Marcus Williams was getting a bit of shit, like, straight away on the internet. And I even put up the one of Stone Cold Steve Austin's son of him. And I do, like, the more I watch it, I'm like, I'm kind of starting to figure out what he was trying to do. He definitely got there early.
Yeah.
He realised, fuck, if I touch this guy, it's going to be a PI. They're in field goal range. Now, obviously, they still have to kick the field goal. It's not far gone.
You're giving them a shot. That hasn't missed the kick yet, you know?
And he's like, if I pull out of this, hopefully my teammate brings him in. And the thing is, he's been having a great year. He had that in early on in the game.
That changed the game.
Yeah, and it really turned the tide.
Favor, like, but unfortunately, nobody's going to remember that.
Exactly.
They're all going to remember this. And as you said, because we got there and we were texting each other after saying, what does this dude do? Just make the tackle. He got there early. It looks like he put his head down to avoid contact.
Yep.
The problem is he took his own defender out then straight after.
Bollocks.
If he had stood up and just held the guy, your defender's going to make the tackle and the 3 seconds will run off because they got no timeouts, so they won't get to the line. But I also, from playing on defense, I got to put some of the blame on the defense coordinator there. He should have been playing everybody in to the field. So he had a linebacker standing in the middle of the field. Like, that he shouldn't be there. Like, they're not going to pass in the middle of the field because they're not going to have enough time
to get have set. Him out wider.
Have him out wide, have him as a security blanket, push the safety back further and have the linebacker chasing to one of the sides. That's, I think, where the defense coordinator let them down a little bit there. But it was just, when you see the likes of Everson Griffin in absolute shock saying, we've just won that. And then you go to the other side and Coleman's there with absolute shock. Like, did this just happen to us? Because they all thought, like, the lead changed 3 or 4 times in the last 3 minutes.
That's right.
It was unbelievable.
I believe it was 4 times in the last 3 minutes. 3-0-1 or something like that.
Who are you thinking? Like, you're sitting there, it's like...
It was a roller coaster.
You're giving me 129 left, the Saints losing, and you've got Drew Brees at quarterback. There's two other quarterbacks, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, that I don't think, if you give them that much time on the clock, and all they need is a field goal to win it, they'll win it.
True. And I have to say, like, I was really high on Brees, and I thought he was going to get it done. Like, he had that fourth down completion, like, ice running through his veins there, where he hit Willie Snead on an out. It was fucking on the money. I was like, all right.
They're going to win this game. They're losing it.
I felt really, really bad for Brees, I have to say. Like, you just look absolutely dejected. And I think it was the final nail in the coffin was having to call the Saints players out of the locker room just for the kneel down.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those silly rules.
You really need to bring in a rule that's got like a part A and part B to it, you know?
Yeah.
If you've scored the walk-off touchdown and you've won the game, you don't need to kick the PAT. If you're losing and this is to tie the game or win it, then you got to kick the PAT.
If it doesn't matter or it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But fair, I have to say, fair play to Thomas Morstead, the punter, who fucking broke his ribs in the first quarter. He came out. Now, they probably said, get out there. Like, you're a punter. Get out there and line up. Like, they probably sent him out. But fair play to him. Like,
he's there,
mangled ribs, and he lined up and he took his beating like a man.
Like, The Vikings took away Ingram and Kamara's running game. They didn't have great stats in this game, you know.
No.
So, I was being asked with the people I was watching the game was, who do I want to win, you know? And it's who do you want? It's 6 and 1/2 dozen the other. Like,
really
you want,
is.
You want Breeze coming in there, ice cold himself. My benefit is he's going to be playing ice cold Northeast football and not in a dome in Louisiana. But at the same time, you've got that Vikings defense. Now, the only thing about the Vikings defense is they're not deep on the defensive line. It's the four guys and that's it.
Yeah.
But the defense overall is really good. Their offense is good and their special teams is good. But with that Saints offense, we're the number one team at stopping the run. But then you got to look at them, Michael Thomas. You got to look at Ted Ginn.
And even like Snead actually starting really to come into it a little bit. Like
it's going to be a tough game for whoever. I think for the Saints though, the way they're looking at it is like, shit, like, we need to go to Philly. And they're not thinking, shit, we got to go to Philly, it's going to be a tough game. It's like, we got to go to Philly, who's Nick Foles and not Carson Wentz.
Mm.
There's no better team to play at the minute because everybody's put them as the underdog.
Yeah.
And he may have a good game, he may have a bad game. And now you got to go there and you got to sit there. And if you see the Vikings beat the Eagles, you're thinking that could have been us. You just never know.
Yeah. So all in all, a great weekend of football. Oh, you really enjoyed it. Really, fantastic. I have to say, really, I had a lot of what you're looking for in playoff football. It was really like from a drama standpoint, some good football, a little bit of shit football played as well. But you know, on that day two, a lot of offense.
Yeah,
scored.
Compared to last year, where there were some poor playoff games and then divisional round games were terrible, and even the NFC games and the AFC championship games, they weren't that great either. It was the Super Bowl was actually good.
Yeah.
So the playoffs and divisional round games this year have been much better than last year.
I agree. Right, we'll have a quick break and we'll have a quick sip of beer and then we will preview the two conference games. So you want to know what's better than watching football?
What?
Winning money while watching football. So it's not too late. There's 2 weeks left of competitive football. We won't include the Pro Bowl, but our partners DraftKings have a new showdown feature now. So it's a little bit different. It's based on one game. So you still have your 50 grand. You have to pick 4 players offensively and 2 players on the defensive side of the ball. So it definitely changes it up, because normally you have to pick a full defense. This time you have to pick 2 defensive players. So normally this is what I'm used to, because I'm in a fantasy league on NFL.com and we actually play defensive players. So for me, it's kind of, it's not completely a completely abnormal concept. For a lot of people, it is new. So it's good crack, though. It kind of changes the way you play it. So that's the new showdown feature. We also have our standard league going on for one or two more weeks, where we basically just pick players from all the different teams that are playing. You can sign up at www.draftkings.com. There will be an option to put a promo code in. Our promo code is Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y. The benefit of using our promo code is they'll give you a free entry, $3 entry to a contest.
And we get tickets to the Super Bowl.
Yes, and we get tickets worth 15 grand to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, definitely sign up so me and Jared can go to the Super Bowl. But it's good crack. I actually just about won last week. I had minus 4 points from the Steelers' defense, and I just about squeaked it. The Breeze touchdown there near the end of the game nearly cost it for me. But I had a dry patch, haven't won in a few weeks, so managed to get a few quid out of it. But there's 55 people now, I believe it is, in our league. So the contests fill up mad fast. It's getting really popular. So yeah, one more time, DraftKings.com. Make sure you're signing up with a promo code, and ours is Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y. You'll get a free contest, and then you can join us and, yeah, have a bit of fun playing some fantasy football. You can play standard or showdown formats and, yeah, win a few quid while you're watching football. So we'll move on to the conference games. Which one's first? First is AFC, isn't it?
First is the AFC.
So Saxonville at the Patriots, down the road from us in Foxborough, 3:05 Eastern time. Barry laughs at me now when I start putting the Irish time, but it's pretty relevant because a lot of people that listen to us are in Ireland.
Yeah.
8:05 GMT. So here's the money line. Pats, 9-point favourites. Over under, 48. So they're expecting quite a high game. So go on, we'll just go prediction straight off the bat. Who have you got?
I'm going to stay Brady in the postseason. I'm going to stay. I do think maybe the Jaguars will win, but I'm going to go with Brady at home in the postseason.
Okay. Like, we were expecting the Pats to be here.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We weren't really expecting the Jags. And they're talking the talk. Fucking Ramsey came out there in the talking to the fans at, is it Evergreen or Everbank Stadium there in Jacksonville? He guaranteed that they're going to beat the Pats and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think Brady responded there saying, oh, he talks a lot. I'd be interested to see how he plays. And he came out with the traditional Brady,
winners don't talk, they just play, or whatever it was. Typical Brady.
And a nugget about Brady, 7-0 versus the Jags. And the last time they played in the playoffs in 2007, he made shite of them.
But Bill fucking seen something at the start of the year, which he rang up Jackson, was like, yo, we need a training camp together. We think it could benefit you. He's down there fucking scouting.
Yeah.
Because he's seen something's going to happen down here.
Yeah. And no, I know it's only a preseason game. I went to see that preseason game.
Fucking the Jags should have refused that and said, nah, you're a grand.
The ones were in against each other at the start of the game. I know it really doesn't carry much weight.
Yeah.
But even like the Jags at the training camp against the Pats, like they were shaping up well. Like that's competitive. That's when the Jags are an up-and-coming team. They're trying to prove themselves to the crop, the cream of the crop in the AFC. Well, that was them proving themselves.
Well, over the last couple of years in defense. Tom Coughlin came in, and him and the coaching and GM have made some key acquisitions through free agency.
Yeah.
So the big thing is, and we talked about it as well, right? The Patriots got 8 sacks last week. They're not going to get 8 sacks this week, right? That was a record for the Patriots, and that won't ever happen against any other team. The Patriots will get 8 sacks. But what they will do is they'll do what they've done to the Titans and take away their best asset, which will be Fournette, or that'll be in their game plan to take it away. They may not take it away. Their game plan will be there, and they'll say, Blake Bortles, beat us. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
When we look at the offensive side of the ball, they're not going to keep the ball in Tom's hand for 3 seconds because that D-line's going to be in there, or a linebacker's going to be in there. And I think the Patriots lost another lineman there at the weekend as well, so now they're down to the third string tackle. So expect to see a lot of passes to James White, Deion Lewis, Amendola, Chris Hogan,
agree.
All in short sides. Now, Hogan's got a big game. He's got to prove himself, because last year in the AFC Championship, he got, 6 or 7 catches, 2 touchdowns. He's not done much since week 5 when he got injured. He had 1 catch last week, so he needs to prove himself.
Which was a touchdown, to be fair to him.
Yeah, you know.
But I agree, he hasn't done much.
He's not done much. He's been out with a shoulder injury. But you'll expect 7-11 to hopefully get open for the Patriots fans. I hope he doesn't personally. I hope 7-Eleven is closed that day, you know. But Gronk,
like Chick-fil-A on Sundays, you know,
you're not gonna stop Gronk. The one thing you can do is make sure he pays a tax if he catches the ball.
Taxing that ass.
Put a fucking lick on him so he fucking knows, shit, every time I go to catch this now, I'm gonna get hit hard.
I think you might see Ramsey on him a couple of times.
I think you will. You just gotta look then. So if you're gonna put Ramsey on Gronk, you probably got Obuye on Cooks. So you may need to have some sort of either linebacker help or another safety's help on either Cooks or Gronk. I think Miles Jack is athletic, man. That dude may be able to keep up with Gronk, you know. But Barry Church as well. You just need to make sure if he comes down, you hit him. And if he's being held up,
keep him close to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, don't let him get too ahead.
Don't let him jack you at the line of scrimmage for a run. You got to be careful now that you don't overcommit and Brady dumps off a screen. You got to be smart here. But I'm sure Jacksonville have a good game plan. Their defense seems to play well. They may not concede 500 odd yards the way they did last time. I think that secondary, especially Bouye, is going to be pissed off. But when we turn around the ball, the Jags offense, they're going to need that running game to be strong. I think as well that the Patriots D-line isn't that great. Now, they didn't get a lot of pressure from the Steelers O-line or D-line, and they were able to run the ball quite well. I expect a bit more toughness from the Patriots just because it's Belichick and this will be their game plan. But, you know, if you got Marquise Lee.
Marquise Lee, yeah, and they got the rookie Dede Westbrook as well.
Dede Westbrook, you get some nice passes to them. T.J. Yeldon.
T.J. Yeldon, yeah. Backup running back, yeah.
And make sure, because the whole reports are that Fournette's ankle still hurt.
Mm.
You know?
And then he was in that car accident as well.
He signed the bumper, though. We'll give it to the first responder.
That was sound of him, yeah. I think, like, if you look at the week Derrick Henry had before he played the Pats, that set the alarm bells off. And they're like, okay, let's shut him down. And then you look at the week that Fournette had against the Steelers. It's definitely going to be in the game plan. It's almost an identical situation. It's like, let's kind of force this quarterback who hasn't lit up the stats, you know, all year, force him to beat us through the air, which I just don't think. If you like, based on what Blake Bortles did last week, 214 yards, one touchdown. If it comes to an aerial shootout between two quarterbacks, there's no way he's going to hang with Brady. Like,
no, but hopefully it doesn't come to that and Fournette could break off a couple of... Because again, that Patriots middle sector with the linebackers isn't that great.
No.
You know, so...
Like, Hightower has been sorely missed, but in fairness, Patricia just finds a way to, like... He's just found a way to evolve his defense throughout the year. And I mean, they finished fifth in scoring defense.
Yeah.
I think 18.5 points is what they were giving up.
What are the odds James Harrison turns up and he's the difference maker this week on the defense, you know?
Just wouldn't be surprised. It would be a typical fucking Patriots story that he turns up and makes plays. I think the over-under is quite high. I was kind of surprised that 48.
48's extremely high.
I thought it would be kind of low 40s. I guess they're just basing it off what the Jags put up against the Steelers there last week. I think I would take the under. And I would also... I think it's going to be closer than 9 points for some reason. I just have this gut feeling that it might be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, it could be a low-scoring game. I think 48's... Like, you can't say they put 40 or 45 on the Steelers, but they only put 10 on the Bills because the Bills have a great defense as well, you know, and it was just a defensive battle. Like, the 18 punts in that game for nearly 600 yards, you know?
Yeah.
In that game, it was crazy. So
punters are people too.
They are people too. I've been there.
To be done.
But you're going to come here now, and I don't think the Patriots' defense could be quite as good as the Bills. But they play, like, again, here's a question. Who out of the Patriots' defense would make it into the Jaguars' starting 11?
You wouldn't put the cornerbacks in anyway.
No.
Like, who's the other safety for the Jags, apart from Barry Church?
I can't think of the guy's name. The only one I can see making it is Devin McCourtney. Out of that Patriots' starting defense... He's the only one that I think could get close. And the problem is, the Jags have such awesome blue chip talent But the Patriots, they just play as a unit.
Yeah.
They're a great team unit.
Yeah.
Like, every one of them knows the job they have to
Same
do.
Same on offense, though.
And they're not going to be out there texting, saying, oh, we're looking to the Vikings now in the Super Bowl or any of this shit. Because Belichick will yank that guy straight off the field. He doesn't care.
Yeah, get off. So, final word, you're going with the Pats.
I'm staying with the Pats just based on experience.
Yeah.
You?
I'm gonna stay with the Pats. Although when I saw that injury to his hand, I was like, oh Jesus, lovely. Here we fucking go.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'll go with the Pats. Well, this one, I think we both agree the Vikings are going to win this. But the NFC game, the Minnesota Vikings on the road at the Link against your Eagles, 6:40 Eastern time, or a very late 11:40 back home in Ireland. Vikings. Yeah. Vikings, 3 points favourites.
6 point swing then.
6 point swing.
Same as last week.
Over under is only 38.5.
You didn't really need that high. Like, I would not be surprised if this game finished 12-9.
And it's a game of two fantastic defenses. Again, mm-hmm. I put that stat up on the Facebook that since the merger in 1970, this is the first time that the final four teams have had defenses in the top five. Which is a pretty cool
defense
stat.
Win championships.
Yeah, so two fantastic defenses, two QBs who started off as backups, free, and now they are free from the tyranny of Jeff Fisher, and here they are in an NFC championship game.
Yeah.
Crazy story. I think you mentioned earlier when they kept it simple for Fowles against the Falcons, he was doing the job.
Yeah.
I think it's when they ask him, when he's required to go above and beyond, it gets a little bit messy.
Yeah,
I think there will be instances of that happening just because the Vikings are so good on all three yeah. phases of defense. There will be some hairy moments. It's just, can he take care of the football enough? You know, avoid enough of those kind of dodgy moments. Take care of the ball. Make the simple plays when they're yeah. there. I think whoever does that more effectively wins the game.
Yeah, like, QB-wise. You got to have Nick Foles play a smart game. You got to make sure Case Keenum doesn't do any turnovers, and he's been good this year. You know,
he has been. I think he is.
He's not had a lot of ins.
He is the better quarterback. I think that passing.
That last week, you know, that int could have changed the game for the wrong reasons for them. Luckily for them, it didn't. It didn't have a factor in the end results. You look at Foles, the guy made it to the Pro Bowl. You know, he had the records TDs in the game. And then it just all went downhill. He ended up out in Los Angeles. St. Louis.
So we
traded Nick Foles to the Rams and we took Bradford. And then Case Keenum ended up in the Rams and he beat out Foles for their starting job. And then they sent him back into the... they sent Foles where? To the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
And then the Vikings... We traded Bradford to the Vikings... And
it's
then,
really a love triangles
and then,
fucking
Vikings
web.
And Keenum, you know, so it's
crazy how it all.
It's crazy how it's worked out, but it's great to see that the two top teams, the number one and number two in the NFC, have ended up in the final now. You know, the two best teams have gotten there. Obviously, things have changed with Carson Wentz going down. I think the Vikings possibly just about edge the better defense overall. I think obviously the Eagles have a better defensive line because they have much more talent there that they rotate. Whereas the Vikings just have a great secondary with Harrison Smith and Xavier Rhodes.
Really good secondary.
So I'd be worried there. Where it could happen is, right, the Eagles are number one rush defense. The Vikings are number like two or three. So expect it to be a lot of runs, a lot of hard hitting. Then it's going to come down to who can beat who, right? You know, That's my concern. I think Xavier Rhodes will take Alshon Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up then to the Vikings. You'll probably get maybe Harrison Smith covering maybe Zach Ertz in some of the plays just for size.
I think Aguilar might have a decent game purely because he's the guy that's not being covered by one of the superstars, you know?
Yeah.
Like Smith and Ertz is going to be, that'll be a juicy one to watch.
And then who's it? Trey White, is it? Or who's the other cornerback for... The Vikings. I think it's Trey White. Or that he ends up with the Bears. I don't know. Whatever it is, he's going to have a big game because he's going to have to take Torrey Smith. You know, he hasn't done much this year, but his speed
has
drawn a couple of defensive PIs.
Yeah.
But then on the Eagles side of things, you got Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph to worry about, you know. And the thing is this year, like, other than their running back for the Vikings.
But they got Latavius Murray and Jeremy McKinnon.
They can run the ball well, you know.
Yeah, they can both get it done, yeah. You know? They both had scores.
It's going to be an interesting game, and I think it'll, like, as I said, this could come down to a 12-9 game, and it'll be Kyle Forbath against the Eagles kicker, and it's like, Elliot, like, who's the better kicker?
Come
down to that. I hope it doesn't come down to it. It's an exciting game, and the Eagles win. But I think overall, maybe just by a smidgen, I think over all three facets of the game, special teams, defense, and offense, the Vikings are the better team.
Mm.
Just a smidgen. So I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Logical ending to that sentence.
No, obviously, I think the Vikings could win, but everybody's looked at the Eagles as underdogs for every game since Wentz went down.
Should have got the dog mask for this episode. That would have been brilliant. Let's try and get one for we'll do a Facebook Live on Sunday before the game. Just have you sitting there with the dog mask.
Probably get a horse mask quicker than I get a dog mask now. But, you know,
get you an S&M mask if you're looking for one.
Got one. The Eagles have a chip on their shoulder because everybody's looking at them as an underdog.
Yeah.
And the thing that's good is they beat the Falcons without actually playing that well.
Mm.
Like, they had four fumbles in that game. I don't expect to see maybe one this game. Touch wood, we get zero.
The thing is, like, with those players, those ball hawks on the other side of the ball, if there is a fumble, like,
you've got Anthony Barr and Kendrick's brother there.
Mm.
They're fast linebackers, you know? So don't expect Ajayi or Clemens to break a 30-yard run because it isn't going to happen.
Mm.
And fingers crossed, Barr doesn't come flying at Foles the way he went at fucking Aaron Rodgers, you know, because if Foles goes out of the game, game over.
Yeah.
Put your mortgage on Betfair or one of these things if they allow you to put that much on.
Jeez, we don't actually encourage that, but yeah, he'll be pretty confident in that happening. One area I kind of identified could play a massive factor is the ability for both Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter to get pressure on Foles. If Lane Johnson and the other boys can hold up down the their end of the bargain.
It's going to be a massive game with Everson Griffin over him. You got to keep the pressure off Foles because he has to get through his reads. And
if they can get that pressure to Foles, that's one of those times where he's being called on to go above and beyond and out of the safety zone. I think that's where the game could, you know, really go one way or the other, but they still have to get the pressure.
They do, and, you know, I was chatting to one Eagles fan, talking, oh, we've got home advantage, you know, home field advantage is going to be quite big. I was like, dude, these guys play in the cold as well. You know, they may be playing in the Dome now, but they played at Minnesota University Stadium for 2 years. They live in the cold.
It's not their first rodeo playing in a cold weather game.
Their stadium is pretty loud as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be cold as hell, it's going to be loud, and hopefully it's a lot of fun. I don't want a 12-9 game, you know. And, you know, fingers crossed the Eagles get there and they're playing the Jags in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I picked the Falcons last week, but in my heart I did want the Eagles to win. I'm delighted they did win. And I was like, oh, I don't want to pull the plug on the Eagles. This is kind of like, it's a whole nother ball game now because the Vikings, just like their defense.
Is it solely because Carson Wentz is there?
If Carson Wentz is there, I would be picking the Eagles to win.
Yeah.
I just think that the offense is a different gravy when he's under center. Just things move, and, you know, when plays break down, he has that game-changing ability where he can make something happen.
Yeah.
Foles doesn't really have that same ability. I have real trouble picking who I think is going to win. I'm just picking the Vikings. I just feel like there might, it could be just their year.
Yeah,
based on
they'll be the first team to get to a Super Bowl. Yeah, and host there's a lot as well.
Exactly, the first team to, if they do win, first team to host the Super Bowl, which is massive incentive in itself. Yeah. And just like that play happening, it's just sometimes it's those little things where it's like maybe it is their year, but it's absolutely nothing against the Eagles. It's just I just have this feeling,
you know,
in me ball bag that it's going to be the Vikings.
The underdog anyway, because then if you win, you proved everybody wrong, and then if you lose,
expect the worst, hope for the best.
Lose, you know,
but only, I mean, that spread of 3-point favorites is, they're basically calling it then down the middle, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, it's, which is how I'm feeling. But I'm just gonna go with the Vikings by a smidgen. But I mean, it could come down to less than a field goal. It's gonna be a close one. But like you said, I hope it's a great one. And may the best team win.
Yeah.
So we got, truly. We got, we're both agreeing on the Pats. You got your Eagles.
Yeah.
I got my, well, I got the Vikings winning. So that wraps it up for our conference game preview, and it also wraps it up for episode 29. Jer, pleasure to have you back on.
It's been good.
Will we be watching the games together, will we? I'm sure we will.
Probably.
Well, we're going to UFC 220.
On the Saturday.
A bit of shameless plugging there. We're going to UFC 220. Two title fights. I know this isn't an MMA podcast, but who have you got? We got Daniel Cormier, who are just, I watched them working out there. They're all looking well. Francis Ngannou was a fucking beast, by the way. So have you got Cormier?
I'm gonna go with Cormier as the
he has a lot to prove after the John Jones debacle, doesn't he? He wants to be back in there.
He was owned. I don't really like Cormier just because his fights are quite boring. You know, he's pretty much take them to the ground, sit on them and wrestle them. You know, and he was at that stage where I'm kind of not big enough for heavyweight, so I'm going to go down to light heavyweight and then just use my advantage there. Mm. And he has done that, and fair enough, it's won him the title and he's defended it, but it's not earned him a lot of fans.
Yep.
Because he just doesn't make the fights exciting. I think Ngannou, it's just, I don't know, man. I want Ngannou to win. I want Ngannou to win just for the fairy tale story.
Sure, yeah. But
if Stipe wins, I don't care because he's trying to break the record for the number of heavyweight title defenses. And, you know, he's a hero in his own way. He's Stipe, a fireman, you know? So
Stipe has his own great story.
So he's going in and he feels that nobody's shown him respect, which I would have to agree.
Absolutely, you know, he's not shown
the respect he deserves. But it'd be great. I think if that touches the second round, I'll be happy. I just think someone's going to get their head taken off.
They were asking Ngannou there after his workout there, like, how do you see it going? He was like, in his kind of, albeit broken English, he goes, under two rounds. And it was just the way he said it. I was like, fuck, yeah. I'm not going to fucking argue with him.
No.
So it's going to be a great night. Really looking forward to it. And Khabib is in town. Khabib was at the event earlier on. So there's going to be rumours that he's fighting Tony Ferguson at UFC 223. I guess we'll just have to go to that as well.
Tough life.
Tough life indeed. Anyway, we'll leave it at that for this week, Jer. Thanks a million for coming on.
As always.
So that will wrap it up for episode 29 of Paddy Pigskin. Thanks very much for tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned to our social media pages over the next few days, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have a juicy little announcement coming up, so make sure you tune into that. And yeah, wherever you're listening to us, subscribe, download, and enjoy all our future episodes of Paddy Pigskin. So tune in next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slauncha. Take care.